This is Jay Sekulow. More developments on the issue of life in Virginia. A bill is proposed that would allow abortion during delivery.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay, but to the end of the third trimester.
Yep, I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman.
I understand that. I'm asking
you
if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Despite the hesitation in the delegate's mouth and what she was saying, that we're talking about a situation in Virginia where a bill's been proposed that allows abortion during the delivery. So it's basically what we would call, we used to call, I don't know if they use the phrase anymore, but when we litigated these cases, especially in the 80s and 90s, they were called live birth abortions. And this is a situation where you now have got in Virginia a situation where the proposal allows for a live birth abortion. In other words, the woman's dilated, the baby's being delivered, and you do with the abortion. And there's no prerequisite of any, they'll talk about fetal abnormality, they'll talk about these kind of things, but there's not a prerequisite of a medical, is there, I'm going to go right to Abby Sutherland on this, senior counsel for the ACLJ. Is there a prerequisite of a medical finding before they do this in the proposed law in Virginia? That they have to find that there's certain, you know, a fetal abnormality or is there anything that limits the scope of when it can be done?
No, I'm not seeing one in the bill.
So the bill, that's what I thought, because that's what she said. I mean, she's saying the bill, and then the governor doubles down on it. But let's first focus on the bill here. I mean, this is showing you what is going on unless you fight back on this and fight back aggressively.
Yeah, and let me just remind people, right now in Virginia, the state legislature can probably prevent this from becoming law, but it is the narrowest margins. 21 Republicans in the state Senate and 19 Democrats. So, I mean, you're talking about right along the lines of a switch there. In the House of Delegates, 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats. So one more election cycle, and you could be looking at Virginia passing something very similar to what New York has done.
Yeah, I mean, this is in the – Andy, would you put this in the same category?
As?
New York.
Oh, yes. I would say it's tantamount to being the equal in legislation, even more hard, in my view, the bill itself.
At least without the way even they're describing it. I mean, the authors of the bill are describing it in terms that are even worse than New York.
Yeah, and the bill itself, can we play that bite again? Where this is the sponsor of the legislation has asked this. Well, do we have to, let's. Well, I'll tell you, we'll hold that. We'll hold it for the next segment. We'll get everybody tuned in. So what we're talking about is a law in Virginia. We've been talking about these other ones this week. We're also waiting for a Supreme Court decision. Can come down today or tomorrow on whether a stay is going to be given on another case involving life. And at the same time, the ACLJ just filed briefs on the life issue. So we got. There's multiple things happening here. Now, as Jordan just said, in Virginia, it's very close. But again, I think it's important here, Abby, to point out what this bill actually authorizes. What does it allow if it were to pass?
Okay, well, it allows, there's numerous things. It allows now for third trimester abortions, obviously, up until or at the time the woman is dilating, according to the sponsor. It also, and this is interesting, it removes the definition of what informed written consent is. So in most of these bills, you have to obtain informed written consent from the pregnant woman in order to conduct an abortion. Common sense, right? What's interesting about this legislation is they have actually removed, this is the definition of informed consent, yep, right here. They've removed it all. So informed consent used to require a clear direction from the woman seeking the abortion.
Not now.
It's removed the requirement that it cannot be done without undue inducement, fraud, force, deceit, duress, or any other form of constraint.
We're going to talk about what all this means when we come back from the break. Your phone lines are jammed. 800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ as we stand for life and are going to let you know exactly what's going on around the country. ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
This is how AP, this is the Associated Press, this is how they phrase the issue in Virginia. A Virginia abortion feud erupts, governor blasted for comments. A push by Virginia Democrats to loosen restrictions on late-term abortions is erupting into a fierce partisan clash because of a viral video in which a lawmaker acknowledges her legislation would allow abortions up until the moments before birth. So this is during delivery. And you've looked at the law, Abby, and as you view the law, is she misstating it or is that what the law says?
That is what the law says, is that up
proposal,
until
that's what
it indicates. Because what it has done is, like many other states, it's removed. There used to be a requirement that three physicians agree.
Right.
That there is a substantial and irremediable impairment or threat to the woman's health.
Right.
Okay, so that has been removed. There is no longer that requirement. It's just one physician deciding that there's a health complication with regards to the woman, mental or physical, and that's it.
Does it say mental or physical?
It says mental or physical. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, this is the exception that that nullifies any restriction. So when we say this is abortion until the moment of during live delivery, it is. Then from a Washington D.C. perspective, you had the fetal pain bill. It didn't get through, unfortunately. What's the status of this? I mean, we do have Marco Rubio saying, "I never thought I would see the day America had government officials who openly supported legal infanticide." You have Ben Sasse. He came out. He says, if you can't say it's wrong to leave babies to die after birth, get out of public office. That's he was a little stronger than that, even, I would say, for Ben, for Senator Sasse. But that's what's the sense of this in Washington? At least the senators are speaking out.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Senator Sasse on that. Look, the United States, Jay, is in the sad company of seven countries in the world that don't ban late-term abortion. And I know Jordan went through the list maybe yesterday.
Do it again.
It's not good company. The list is China, North Korea, Singapore, Netherlands, Vietnam, Canada, and the United States. And Jay, I would just point out, the list gets even smaller if you talk about the list of countries that don't restrict it at any point, because Singapore and the Netherlands restrict it after 20 weeks. So we're really in a sad company of five. And quite frankly, the federal elected officials ought to be ashamed that they haven't addressed this. The House has passed it in previous sessions. The Senate has never been able to. Lindsey Graham has carried that bill for a number of sessions. Jay, it ought to be brought up again. We'd lose a couple of Republicans on it. We'd pick up a couple of Democrats, but it would again show the American voters who's standing behind the kind of abhorrent laws that we're seeing introduced on the state level.
Yeah, I mean, we are similar to North Korea and China in this, that even the liberal Europeans that we see as, oh, they're very far left there, they don't even have anything like a conservative movement that we have in the United States, or they would not allow this. Even the Netherlands prevents it from earlier than we do nationwide. And that's liberal Europe. So who are we in the company of? We're in the company of the regimes with the worst human rights records in the world, China, North Korea, Vietnam. These are the kind of countries we are in bed with when it comes to how we treat the child in the womb and the respect for life and when does that begin. So even I just want to underscore, we see Europe is so liberal. I bet it's shocking to most of our listeners that we have much more open abortion laws here in the United States with least restrictions, probably in every state in the country, than all countries in Europe, than every single country in Europe has more restrictions on abortion than the United States.
Abby, you were going to say you said this earlier. So informed consent's out, mm-hmm. basically the way it used to be traditionally done.
Right.
So this idea that this is we're going to make these bills to protect women, you mm-hmm. think it's the opposite of that?
It is the opposite because it also removes. So there used to be a civil penalty on physicians who fail to obtain proper informed written consent. And like I said, the list for what consists
so there was
of.
A, so in other words, if you didn't get informed consent, you could subject to.
Right.
To
you can sue the physician. There's civil penalties. They've removed that as well. Why would you remove that?
So Andy, why would they remove it? To give a free pass?
Yeah, because it's to encourage abortions in any way at any time, in my opinion. So we take away, like you said earlier, in a tonsillectomy, you'd have to have someone sign
yes.
and take an informed. You don't even have to do that to commit an abortion. And that, and I'm saying what it is committing a crime, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You don't even have to have informed consent to do that.
Yeah. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. This is Virginia's law we're talking about. This has been some week on this issue. I mean, this is, look, folks, we know we're in a battle. This is, I'm going to play that. Let me play that delegate statement again. I think we need to before we take the call. Let's play it again. Here's what this is. The delegate is explaining the bill.
How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay, but to the end of the third trimester?
Yep, I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would make.
I understand
that.
I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
And let me ask you this, Abby. Is the statements that the delegate Tran made consistent with what the law she's put forward?
It is. It is, because it removes requirements that there be a real and substantial threat to the woman's health.
Mm. Now, you understand the nature and scope of what we're dealing with here. This is, Andy called it a crime. It's evil. It's murder. But the problem is, this is when the states get to decide, understand that this is where local elections matter and aspects of this matter. But this is really horrific. I mean, and so it's Virginia. Which used to be a pretty conservative state, but like Jordan said, it's 51-49? It's two votes?
Within two votes in both the House of Delegates and the State Senate.
So they're barely holding.
The elections are this year, and it's turning blue there, so I would imagine I'm not an expert on state politics in Virginia, but I'd imagine the Democrats have a pretty good chance there. And that usually translates into, I will tell you, because I lived two doors down from Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia, who's a Democrat, and when he was running for State Senate, guess who was doing most of his mailers for him? Planned Parenthood.
I remember that.
And he's a pediatric neurosurgeon, so he knows what he's talking about when he was caught on the record as well, talking about leaving a baby to possibly die after an abortion.
Yeah,
he's a pediatric neurosurgeon.
All right, let's go ahead and take a call. Then we'll in the next segment we'll play what he said. We'll play what Ralph.
Yeah. So Gail in New York on line one. Gail, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gail.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is about the New York RHA.
Yep.
New law, and I believe the law defines a person now as a human being who has been born and is alive. And so my question is, when a baby is born alive as the result of an abortion and it's left to die, although I know they removed the protections that used to be there, wouldn't that count as a criminally negligent homicide?
Not under
because the baby is now a person.
Yeah, so this is the personal issue. We would certainly argue that, but the law doesn't say that. I mean, there's a viability issue. I mean, let me rephrase the thing here. This is allowing the abortion procedure to take place during delivery. So as the baby's being delivered, you can end the pregnancy then and kill the unborn child. So here's what you're saying is, what if the child is then born alive? And there used to be a born alive infant protections. There was discussions on all of this. And because this was happening, it was the Gosnell case and others. The problem with all of this, it seems to me, Abby, is all of that's getting eroded away. I mean, it's just, this is a process of, and then when we play you the governor's statements, it's even worse, but go ahead.
Well, and what they're doing is they're removing the criminal penalties that were in place to protect the life of that baby.
Yeah.
So it's not saying you can kill that baby once it's born, but what it's saying is we won't prosecute you or do anything about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead, Jordan. So I'm going to go to Annie.
The future prosecutions of someone like Gosnell serving life in prison because of what he was doing, because he was killing babies. But New York stripping all the criminal provisions out. Even if the law says you shouldn't do that, if there's no penalty for doing that, and in some of these cases, they're also stripping out the civil actions as well.
Right.
So absolutely no, there are no repercussions whatsoever for allowing a child to die.
So Andy, you're the prosecutor in the county where this happened. What do you do?
Well, you can't prosecute it as a crime because it's not anymore. And that's the sad part of this, is that you're taking away the right of the prosecutor to exercise his or her discretion to prosecute what, in my view, is a homicide. You can call it anything you want. You can pitch it any way you want, but that's what this is.
Well, you know, we're getting reaction in Washington, fan, but the reaction's one thing, action is another, and it's going to be tough, right? You're shaking your head.
Well,
yeah.
It's going to be tough. The votes aren't there, and part of the reason they're not there is because of what Jordan just said. Planned Parenthood gets behind these candidates, Jay, and let me just put it to you plainly. The purity test for the pure pro-abortion left in America, and I know that's a perverted use of the word purity, but their purity test is that there can be no limits, there can be no lines, and Jay, that extends to infanticide. Look, I mean, the conversation you just had with Abby about removing the criminal penalties for not providing care to an infant that's born alive laying on the table— Planned Parenthood and the pro-abortion left in America, Jay, they think that no limits and no lines extends to infanticide. They really do.
Now, wait until we play you the governor's statements when you try to explain this horrific act. All right, we'll do that coming up from the break. So we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed, but just keep trying. We're going to keep going through as many calls as we can. Also, let me encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org, as we not just talk about these issues. We're looking at every avenue. Now, Virginia, we think we're going to be able to block it, but that's this session. Next session, who knows? So, again, it's very, very important. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad. Standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So you understand the nature and the scope of what we're dealing with as we now point to the Virginia law that's been proposed. I'll play the governor's comments in a moment. I think it's important that we you understand exactly where this law is going. We're going to take a phone call, and then I'm going to have Abby explain some of this, because it's much more than what you think is going on here. It's not just they're removing criminal and civil penalties, but they're also prohibiting any enforcement actions of any type against those engaged in the procedure, and limiting the information that the woman that's about to undergo this procedure, which could be during her birth, during the birth of the child. It's unconscionable what you're saying. Let's go ahead and take the call.
I think Harley's call out of Washington State ties directly into what we were talking about during the break on Facebook and Periscope. Harley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Harley.
Thank you very much, you guys, and I do support you. I was troubled. I don't know if I heard this correctly, but they don't have to have, they don't have to have the consent of the mother before they do an abortion. Means that she's giving birth, and then they can just decide to abort the baby without her request.
It used to be required that you have written informed consent, which you do for most procedures, by the way. So let's Abby explain what it does.
Okay, so what it does is the requirement that informed written consent be obtained by the woman is still in there, but there was an entire page devoted to explaining what is informed written consent. And now that definition has been removed, which that's where the protections for the woman were located. It required a medical explanation of what was going to happen, the risks, the benefits.
All of that's out.
All of it out. The woman being able to ask questions of the physician, removed, gone.
Yeah. This is what they're putting forward. So the woman doesn't have the right to ask the physician exactly the risks and concerns of the procedure?
It's not a requirement. It's not a requirement that be offered to the woman before the procedure takes place.
So as part of informed consent, you used to have to do that, right?
Yes.
Same thing with any surgery. This is the risk and benefits.
Right.
Here, they're saying we're removing that.
Right.
Portion distortion at its worst, because, you can't go in to have a minor medical procedure and not be told about the risk. The doctors don't even ask you if you want to be told about the risk. They tell you about the risk for their own malpractice purposes. But when you strip malpractice out, you strip civil actions out, you strip criminal penalties out, then it's up to a woman in a vulnerable situation to go and question the doctor about this, which again reverses the relationship that's supposed to be between a doctor and a patient. The doctor is supposed to be the one telling you the risks that are concerned. You shouldn't be having to pull that out of the doctor. Exactly what are you doing, doctor? And exactly what? They're supposed to walk you through that usually up until these procedures, much more minor procedures than one like a late-term abortion.
Go ahead.
Well, and I will say, as I'm reading on, it does say that the physician need not obtain the informed written consent of the woman when the abortion is to be performed pursuant to a medical emergency or spontaneous miscarriage. So, it seems to leave open. And again, it removes the civil penalty of any physician who decides to do it.
So let's talk, Andy, let's talk about the penalty aspect. So yesterday we focused on the fact that it removed the criminal penalties.
Correct.
New York now that's New York. This one in Virginia removes civil and criminal penalties. We call it the abortion distortion factor, but this gives the abortion right as something so significant that the claims you would normally be able to bring cannot be brought.
Sounds like it. It's death on demand and without disclosure.
Mm.
That's exactly what it is. Death on demand and without disclosure. In other words, anything goes, which is perhaps even more horrific, in my view, than what is happening in New York with its legislation.
Yeah.
Because when I hear Abby reading from sections of this statute or that proposed bill in Virginia, I'm thinking that that's exactly what it is. It's killing when you want to and how you want to, and you don't even have to tell the person who is delivering the infant anything about it.
Well, Governor Northam, who's the Virginia governor, was on WTOP, and they're Ask the Governor radio broadcast, and this issue came up.
When we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of, obviously, the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
But actually, he's incorrect on one point right up front, and that is the infant would be delivered. The fact of the matter is, under the bill, the infant, and the sponsor of the bill said this, the infant could be, the abortion could take place during delivery. Is there any question on that? I mean, she said it, as well as the law itself.
Yeah. I mean, it removes the strict provisions that there be a unified decision by three physicians. So it does it, and it removes the civil penalty. So it just allows a doctor to decide, is there any mental or physical threat to the woman's life? If there is.
Or health.
And we know what that means.
Yes.
I mean, we all know what that means. It's anything.
It's interesting because the governor here is a Democrat, is very pro-abortion, backed by Planned Parenthood's his entire political career. But he's a pediatric neurosurgeon. Obviously, he didn't read the bill, or didn't fully understand it. But he actually went a step further. I think what it does is it gave us insight into where this movement is heading. When he said that if the infant would be, let's say the infant is delivered, that you could have a live child. And then the doctor, along with the mother, could decide whether to kill it. That's what he's saying there when he said the infant would be kept comfortable and would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother, and then they could kill the kid again. So resuscitate, bring back to life, have another discussion, and kill again. That's where he would like it to go. That is infanticide.
That's exactly what that is.
Well, I mean, that's what you got senators calling. Give us a Washington response on this. I mean, a couple of senators spoken out. Haven't been that many yet. But what's not just the response? What are they proposing?
Well, first of all, the response, Jay, I think they believe that it's a vocalization of what the left has been for a long time, because that clip that you played started with third trimester abortion. That's something that's outlawed in most of the civilized world, but it didn't end there. It ended with infanticide. And I think the reaction from senators is that is what they are hearing from the abortion lobby groups that are on the Hill each and every day. That is where the abortion lobby groups stand, Jay. But as far as action goes, look, on a federal level, the response to this is very, very clear. It's the pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which catches the United States up with the rest of the civilized world and does not allow this procedure after 20 weeks. Jay, if that bill were to come to the floor of the House and the Senate right now for a vote, it would fall several dozen short in the House. And quite frankly, it would probably fall 6 to 8 short in the United States Senate. So as far as an action response, our federal officials need to catch up here.
So we're looking at every legal. We're trying to find out a couple things. How did all this all of a sudden start? So we're doing Freedom of Information Act request. We're looking at any now in Virginia. I think this time around they're going to be able to block it because they've got control of the House and the House of Delegates and the Senate.
Yeah. So I mean,
the elections are this year.
Yep. So they're having elections in 2019. That means that this proposal will be easily introduced, and it could be if Virginia keeps trending the way it is. Has been trending that it could trend Democrat, and then that would usually translate to pro-abortion.
All right, we've got a lot to talk about. Let me tell you this. We've got an email that's out right now saying this is the most barbaric abortion law in U.S. history. We were talking about New York just passed a new law. Then we said now Virginia and other states are considering similar barbaric acts. And each time you go, it's like the next one is more brutal. That's what Andy was saying. I think it's right. All right, we're taking your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, go over to Facebook, ACLJ.org, or Periscope. We're broadcasting there. A lot of your stations carry the full hour. Also, let me encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ so we can stay on top of these cases and issues. Go to ACLJ.org. If you get our emails, respond to those emails. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So Associated Press headline reads, Virginia abortion feud erupts, governor blasted for comments. CNN's headline is, Virginia governor faces backlash over comments supporting late-term abortion bill. But the bill itself that's being proposed in Virginia actually supports abortion during delivery. I call it live birth abortion. And that's basically what it is. So I'm going to go right. We started the broadcast this way. I'm going to do this again and reset this for everybody. We go back to Abby Sutherland, senior counsel for the ACLJ. He's gone over the law. This, not only does it, we can go through the restrictions it moves, but let's start with what it allows first as far as late-term abortion. Can an abortion take place during the actual delivery?
The law does not prohibit that. It allows too much discretion to the physician to decide.
Okay.
So yes, the answer is yes. There's nothing that would now prohibit that.
Okay, so that's our read of the law. That's our view of what the law the bill as proposed says. Now let me play for you what the sponsor of the bill says, which doubles down on that fact. Here we go.
How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay, but to the end of the third trimester?
Yep, I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would
make. I understand
that.
I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
So Abby, what does that tell us? It tells me that the sponsor of the bill believes that the child could actually be in the process of delivery, and not just that the mother's life is in danger, because the bill says mental health, which mm-hmm. means anything.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. That's the way it's been interpreted, by the way, by the courts. Not just something we're saying. The courts have interpreted mental health to mean anything. Economic pressures mm-hmm. that it would put on the family. That during the delivery of that child's life could be ended.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Then they call any other post remedies that would take place, instead of saying a live birth at that point, they call it the product of abortion.
Mm-hmm. Right. A product. Not a baby. A product.
A product of abortion. Andy?
A box of cereal. Just a product.
Yeah.
Something you just take off the shelf and put back on, and if you don't want it, you throw it in the trash.
And that's how they, this is part of, and this is, by the way, this is the language they put in the bill. This is not anything where, this is their language.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what we are seeing now is how far the abortion movement would go. It's an industry. These are expensive procedures. It makes money for them. Let me remind you, Planned Parenthood has doubled their amount of late-term abortion facilities in the United States. They had 18, and that's because there were so few procedures, people that would even perform the procedure. So they fly, actually, a lot of these abortionists around to do this procedure because there are so few who will do it. But they've gone from 18 to 37. So they're investing in late-term abortion right now at Planned Parenthood. So the idea, again, that this is something they want to keep is, oh, this doesn't happen often, it's very rare, then they wouldn't be investing in it because they already had 18 late-term abortion facilities. Why do you need 37?
Yeah.
And they've done that just in the last 2 years. So under the Trump presidency, they're seeing, well, if Roe v. Wade got overturned, hey, we get to make up the laws. Why don't we start that process now, like Andy said, and you're starting to see the liberal states do what Planned Parenthood asks. And they always do. Democrats on the left do what Planned Parenthood asks. They put the legislation forward and they defend it when they have to.
Marco Rubio calls it basically infanticide. I mean, he says, I never thought I would see the day America had government officials who openly support legal infanticide. Abby, your view of the law, is that what this is?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah, and you're just shaking.
Murder.
Well, that's right. I mean, that would be the crime.
That's
infanticide
the crime.
Is just the act.
That's right.
The crime would be murder. We're going to talk a lot more about this when we come back from the break. If you don't get the ACLJ's alert, you need to. We've got a big one out today on this issue. And I'm going to read some of it when we come back from the break. But it's a big deal. I'm going to go to quickly in Washington. This is not a Washington fix, probably, right? I mean, we're going to have to go state by state here.
Well, we're going to have to go state by state. There should be a federal law as well. We can't get there. Jay, here's the bottom line. We're going to have to do all of it. Federal, state, and litigation.
Yeah, here we go. All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Stay tuned. A lot more ahead. We've got a special video coming up.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Let me tell you what I sent out this morning. I sent out yesterday. I'm sending out to others today. This is an email that we sent out, and we said, this is huge and up to the moment birth. That's what we're calling it. This is the most barbaric abortion law in U.S. history. New York just passed a new law making it legal to abort a baby at any stage, including up to the moment of birth. Planned Parenthood immediately tweeted, "This is huge." And New York's governor had landmarks lit up pink in a perverse celebration of this. We have that picture. We could show it on the screen if we have it. Planned Parenthood immediately tweeted, "This is huge." As I said, they put up the picture. It's one of the most expansive abortion laws that we've ever seen. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive after the botched abortions. So this is just the facts we're giving you here of what the law did in there. So this allows for infanticide. Now, infanticide is not the crime itself. The crime itself, Andy, would have to be murder.
It is. The unlawful taking of the life of another human being.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say. It's a person with malice aforethought. And that's exactly what this is, the malicious taking of a human life.
Now, Virginia and other states are considering similar acts. In Virginia, it's a two-vote majority in the House and the Senate.
Yeah, that's right. So again, you've got 100 in the House of Delegates, and it's just divided by 51-49. You have 40 in the state Senate. There, it's 21-19 with elections this year.
So now in Virginia and other states are considering these bills. So here's what we're doing. We're taking legal action to fight back. Now, it's complicated because you can't just run into federal court on these. So you've got to be specific. We're preparing records requests to find out who's authorizing all this. That's the first thing you got to find out. Where's all this coming from? Who's behind it? Sure, Planned Parenthood. Who else? Is this a coordinated national campaign? Our inclination is it is. We want to see the documents. We're going to leave no stone unturned, though. That's what I said in the email. And yesterday was a critical oral argument in a case to ban abortion of babies with disabilities. That case was argued yesterday in one of two similar cases we filed briefs in. So we not only are talking about it, we're taking legal action. One state, and we're just days from filing another brief at the Supreme Court, and we're probably 24 hours away from finding out if the Supreme Court's going to allow some restrictions in Louisiana to stay in place pending this appeal. So there's a lot. This is a big week on the life front. But when you look at the Virginia law, I mean, I said New York's the most barbaric. As we've now had time since I wrote this email to get into this Virginia law, it's as bad or worse. And I want Abby to go through the general protections that women have, frankly, anybody has, when you're undergoing a major medical procedure. Informed consent, the ability to ask the doctor questions about the risks of the procedures and what would happen. Under this proposed legislation, under this bill, what happens?
Well, they remove the definition of informed consent. So The term informed consent is still included in the legislation, but there used to be an entire page devoted to what is informed consent. It's full and reasonable medical explanation of the nature's benefits and risks of the procedure the woman is about to have. It's an offer to the woman to speak with a physician who is about to perform the abortion so that that woman can ask questions about the procedure. It's also an instruction to the woman that she can withdraw her consent at any time prior to the performance of the procedure. All of those have been removed.
So those were the legal requirements that you would have to go through, the physician would have to go through before to get to do this procedure. That is all now gone.
It is all gone. All right. As is the civil penalty if a physician fails to obtain written consent.
And okay, so if you remove the civil penalty, Andy, and you don't describe this as a crime, what happens? Nothing?
Nothing. I mean, you can't prosecute.
So they're giving like super protection to the abortion industry.
Basically, it's a free pass, civilly and criminally, to the abortionists.
Okay, let's go ahead and call.
Well, it's interesting, too, because President Trump's commented on it. He said that he's surprised that the governor made this statement, that he knows him. But also brought to light, he was doing an Oval Office interview with the Daily Caller, and the Washington Post has picked up on it, that during the 2016 debate with Hillary Clinton, he said about partial birth abortion that they would, quote, rip the baby out of the womb. And he got a lot of pushback from that, called scare rhetoric. And he said, again, doubling down, that's what it is. That's what they're doing. It's terrible. And now we know it's exactly what they're doing. We've seen the doctors explain it before. We've played those videos for people before. They say you have to pull very hard to get these abortions done. And if you're doing it, again, when you're talking about not a born alive abortion, but an abortion in the womb, that you have to pull very hard to pull the baby apart.
Yep, no question. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110, taking your calls.
Yeah, let's go right to the phones. Sally in Virginia on line 4. Sally, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sally.
Hi, Jay. Thanks so much for everything you're doing to try to get our country back to normal.
Yep.
My question is actually about the doctors who might be forced to perform this procedure and might not want to do this.
Yep.
So if I'm at a regular hospital and I decide to do this, is the doctor required to follow through with it? And are there any protections in place, or do there need to be protections in place for doctors who do not want to go through with this?
So Sally, it's a really great question. And let me tell you what we're doing at the ACLJ, because we represent doctors and nurse professionals and medical professionals, providers, that don't want to participate in these procedures. And sometimes they're brought up on charges. We've gone to jury trials on some of these cases, won punitive damage awards. We have gotten rules and laws changed. But here's what's happening. You're not only fighting this in the state where the statute is, but then it's the medical professionals themselves. For instance, Dr. Hamada was on the broadcast yesterday. He said one of the concerns that he's hearing for colleagues of his, is there going to be a requirement under licensing that you must perform this procedure in order to be licensed? So that's when you'll be litigating. And we are litigating these issues right now and handing them to administrative agencies and provisions. But that's how serious all of this is. Now, the question then is on that level, because that's a conscience right as a federal, I mean, that arrives out of the Constitution, that you don't have to, you know, fundamentally violate your conscience. So we've got strong statements coming out of some members of the Senate, and people are appalled about this. But the legislative aspect of this federally is going to be very difficult, if not impossible.
It's going to be very Well, it's going to be difficult, even though the science is really conclusive on this, Jay. I mean, inside Senator Graham's bill, he lists scientific evidence that it shows that babies in this late term feel pain. Their neurology is developed to the point where they actually recoil when the instruments come in to grab them. And, Jay, I mean, this is tragic to even talk about, but they actually scream in pain during the procedure, but there's no sound because it is stifled by the amniotic fluid. I mean, that is how tragic it is. But even though those scientific facts have been laid out on the floor of the House and the Senate, as of now, Jay, there aren't the votes in the House to pass this. There aren't the votes in the United States Senate to pass this. Here's what it's going to take. It's going to take a groundswell from the American people to change that.
Vice President Pence has just published moments ago an op-ed in National Review, Life is Under Attack. I think that's a fair statement, Jordan. Life is under attack.
Yeah, I just tweeted out at twitter.com/JordanSekulow so people can find that as well. Posted to my Facebook page after the radio broadcast. But I do think that that's the truth, and it's rampant. He talks about in this that it's a rampant attack. I think because of the success of Supreme Court nominees, we think, you know, we've got these more conservative, definitely a court that is going and trending more conservative and would continue to trend more conservative if someone like President Trump, who continues to make selections when there is a vacancy on the court, that remember, overturning Roe versus Wade doesn't criminalize abortion. It doesn't make it illegal. And so these states are utilizing, one, what Roe versus Wade allows, which is the states to kind of come up with their own rules. But two, they're looking past Roe versus Wade and saying, okay, let's say Roe versus Wade's done away with. They wouldn't like that because it would do away with the nationwide law that forces abortion to be legal in every state. But that they can come up with laws that are for their own state that will go even step for many steps, not a step further, many steps further than what we ever thought would be allowed.
Roe versus Wade was they first trimester abortions. I mean, not that those are good either. I mean, it's first trimester abortions. So Julie's got a good call coming from Santa Monica, California. Yeah. Let's try to grab that before the break.
Hey, Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay and George. Hey. In Roe versus Wade, it held that a state may prohibit abortion after the point of viability, except where abortion is necessary to preserve the life or health of the mother.
Right.
My question is, since science has now proven that the baby definitely is fine after the point of viability, can the state prove a compelling interest, and can a spouse or a husband or a sibling say the wife has no mental or emotional medical?
This is you're asking a very complex question, and that is, who has standing to come in and challenge these? And that's the hardest part of what I'm working on right now on this, is finding out who can get in to do this. I mean, that seems to be that's the hardest part. Go ahead, Abby.
Right. Well, and what most of these states are stating in their legislation is that it's the fundamental right of the woman, meaning no one else has a say in it. If the woman wants the abortion, I'm not sure that a father could step in.
I think that's right.
Because it's the fundamental right of a woman. That's what we're finding. That's what these states are saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes the challenges of this very, very difficult. So that's in reality, what Abby just said is really what you're dealing with here. So we have to be, you know, really specific. So you've stripped away the legal protections. The abortion, basically what's happened, the abortion industry, the abortion procedure, and the abortionists have been given rights and privileges that no other medical professional is given in the United States. You could not have a root canal with the lack of consent that goes on for an abortion procedure. I mean, this is what you're dealing with. This is not helping the women. This is opening up a juggernaut to the killing of unborn children. Call it infanticide. It's like the kind word, and that's horrible. But it's a crime. Should be a crime. It's up to the states here, and that's what the real fight is. And this is going to be a state-by-state trench warfare here, folks. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah, until you can get the federal government involved. And right now, with a divided, you've got a Democrat House that is bought and paid for by Planned Parenthood.
Yes. Yeah,
that majority is bought and paid for by Planned Parenthood. So it's not moving this election cycle. It would have to be future election cycles. And a House, a real pro-life House. And by the way, a lot more pro-life Republican senators, because there's too many moderates on that front, too.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up, at aclj.org.
All right, we're going right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Susan in Vermont. She's been holding on. We appreciate you for doing that, Susan. You're on the – oh, she just dropped.
All right.
So if Susan calls back, we'll get her on right away. Peggy in Idaho on line one. Peggy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Peggy.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My question is what can we do if we don't live in a state that's trying to pass these horrific bills? Besides sign your petition and just pray, is there anything that we can do?
Well, look, in this, you've got to talk to your state legislatures. You got to talk to your pro-life groups in your local states. I mean, Than, that's, you know, this is grassroots activism here.
Yeah, and actually, Peggy calling from Idaho, there's a debate on this inside the Idaho legislature right now. Jay, this happens on both sides. I mean, some of these are the hostile bills we're talking about. Other states are trying to affirmatively protect the baby at various stages, whether born alive or inside the womb at late term. You know, Ohio had a debate on that recently, the personhood bill. Jay, that's happening right now inside the Idaho legislature. So I would encourage Peggy to get in touch with her local officials. You said earlier, Jay, this is going to be trench warfare on the state level. I absolutely agree. People in all 50 states, whether you're red or blue, need to be engaging your local officials so that they are aware of the latest science on this.
Lisa on Facebook asks, I'm concerned how this would affect minors or their age requirement for consent. So is there anything about minors in abortion seeking? Because usually it has to be, some states, by the way, don't have the requirement that you have to have adult consent to this, depending on the age.
Well, in the Virginia legislation, there's no definition of woman. It just says any woman. Or any pregnant woman. So I'm assuming there's no definition. And as you know, many states have removed the requirement of parental consent be obtained.
Yeah. So this, again, it's if you had a tonsillectomy without your parents' consent, guess what you're not having? A tonsillectomy. You're not going to go. So, but it's the rules, Andy, for this are completely different. Everything goes. The civil law, criminal law, informed consent, medical practice, standards of care, all of it's gone because it's abortion.
That's right. That's the industry, and that's what Planned Parenthood and its supporters are all about, and that's what this governor. I mean, I read the statement that this governor made, and I'm sorry, I can't agree. If he is a pediatric neurosurgeon and says he's devoted his life to caring for children, then he and makes this statement, then he either is a liar about what he cares about, or he hasn't read the bill. And I'll give him the chance to say that he didn't read the bill. But when he says the infant would be delivered, kept comfortable, resuscitated, and then a discussion, we're going to have a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother while the baby alive is lying there comfortable. We're going to have a discussion about what? In my view, there's only one thing you can discuss. Are you going to kill it or not?
And that's if they've decided to resuscitate. So two chances he's given there to kill the baby. That's Governor Northam, and he's trying to again walk this back, saying he was misunderstood. He is a medical doctor, a pediatric neurosurgeon. Every word he wasn't misunderstood. He was completely understood. He went further than the legislation, I think.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that what he said is not what he believes should be okay.
Right.
He had no. It wasn't when you watch him and we played that for Facebook. Do the interview. He's in a radio show like this that was videoing it.
Yep.
He's not like at all. He's like planned response. He walks through very quiet, cautiously, like a doctor would, about how this would be done, and it doesn't seem to be kind of bristling him at all. He knew exactly what he was saying, and he's not a non-medical professional. He is a pediatric neurosurgeon. He knew Yep. exactly what he meant, and what he means is that he believes, even if this law doesn't go that far, that you should if the child was born, there could be two chances for it to be killed after it's born. One, if you don't resuscitate, but even if you do resuscitate, then we'll look at it. We'll discuss it with the mother. And then maybe we'll take the child off support, kill it again.
I mean, is that what the law? That's basically what it sounds like. What the law? I mean, if you looked at the law, I mean, that's what it sounds like, Abby. I mean, it's as broad of an abortion law as I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's following the trend where the definition of health is just left open for anyone to decide, which we know that means nothing.
Yeah,
they've taken any teeth out of these bills. That would prevent anything to stop a third trimester abortion, a 40-week-old baby from being murdered as it's being delivered through the canal.
This is something, too, we've been told time and time again by these Democrat politicians. Hillary Clinton did it in 2016. We're about to play that for you. In a debate with Donald Trump, this is not what they actually want to do. with these late-term abortions. Take a listen, Byte 37.
If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Because based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month, on the final day.
Well, that is not what happens in these cases. And using that kind of scare rhetoric is just terribly unfortunate.
We know now the legislation in New York exactly allows for that. And guess who was on stage with Cuomo when celebrating the passage of it? Hillary Clinton.
Let's go take another call. 1-800-684-3110.
Susan in Virginia on line 6. Susan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Susan.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, how would this law, is it reconciled with laws that prosecute when, say, a drunk driver takes the life of a pregnant mother and it's two people that they prosecute for death?
Some of these laws are saying that there's no longer a separate cause of action for the death of the unborn child. Most states had that. I mean, I think it was something Dr. Amato said yesterday at the site of the World Trade Center, where they have the list of the people that died. They include the fact that this particular woman was carrying a child. So it was as if another person, because it is another person. But a lot of these laws do away with that now. I mean, the New York one certainly did.
Yeah, New York certainly did away with that second cause of action. And
been
so,
around, by the way. That cause of action goes back to English common law.
So to answer your question exactly, if a pregnant woman's driving a car, DUI happens, you kill, yes, you would be prosecuted for the murder of the woman who was driving. But
and
not,
the unborn
but,
child.
But you would not be
right
under the
so,
New York law.
But it goes back to English common law. That the right, there was a separate cognizable injury in the death, Andy, of the unborn child.
That's of course the case. But these new laws that are being passed in these other jurisdictions are doing away with that.
Yeah. So, Abby, as you view now, you've looked at Virginia, we've looked at Vermont, we're looking at some of these others. This is just, I used that analysis to begin the broadcast. The abortion industry is protected. The abortion procedure has incredible protection, and the abortionist now has a free pass and unbelievable protection. That's basically what this does.
That is really what these laws are doing. It's providing the protections to the abortion industry, not to the woman. We're not concerned with the woman's health any longer or the life of the baby. In Virginia, it's a product.
Right.
It's all about protecting the abortion industry, removing civil and criminal penalties for any botched abortions, any failure to obtain written consent, any non-physician performing an abortion.
Unbelievable. Than, quickly on this, in your perspective, from your perspective, even if they don't pass it, do you bring up the bills to make the point?
Yeah, absolutely. A fundamental duty of a federally elected official is to protect life. We need to know where our federal officials stand. No more protection for them. By the way, Jay, part of the reason that Delegate Tran grimaced is because she knows how bad this was, but part of the reason she didn't put limits in the bill, if she had limits in the bill, guess who would oppose it? Planned Parenthood.
Exactly right. That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Well, we may get a Supreme Court announcement on a stay tomorrow involving a case involving the abortion issue out of Louisiana. Keep everybody posted. Make sure you're getting our emails, our action alerts. ACLJ.org is a great place to stay engaged, but also Facebook, Twitter. I've got a Facebook page. Jordan does. ACLJ does. Get involved in all the social media applications as well. And if you're getting our emails, and if you're not, you should, sign up for them at ACLJ.org. We've got run right now on the life issue. We encourage you to support our work defending life. It is going to be a battle, folks, but it's one we have to be ready for. Do that at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.